Welcome to the Music Treasury, Rare and Historic Moments in Classical Music. I'm your host, Gary Lemko. With me, I'm hoping that all systems are go, is our guest, Mark Ainley, who will be here to discuss our guest pianist this evening, and that's the late Polish-American, well, not really American so much, but the Polish pianist, Andrzej Tchaikovsky. Are you there, Mark?
Hello.
Hello, hello. How have you been?
I'm very well. How are you?
Fine. Is it worthwhile to say Happy Father's Day to you?
No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not appropriate.
Not
okay.
As far as I know.
Not as far as you know. Fair enough. Listen, two questions for you, and then we'll get into the music of Mr. Tchaikovsky. First of all, tell us a little bit about Andrzej Tchaikovsky, obviously a kind of stage name, but also...
Yeah,
how
it was
you,
a stage name.
Right.
He was Polish and born under a completely different name, Robert Andrzej Krauthammer. But his papers were faked by his grandmother during the war. When they tried to rescue him, he was of Jewish background, and in fact, his mother died in Treblinka. So she created this name for him, Andrzej Tchaikovsky, with the Polish spelling, and then the spelling was put in the standard English spelling of as the same as the composer's name. But that's not actually his real name, but it's the name that he went by.
And how did you become interested in him?
Well, you know, I'm interested in a lot of different pianists who from yesteryear, and Tchaikovsky is one of these artists that had an individual approach that he had a very distinctive style of playing, and yet the individuality didn't take away from the music. And this is something I think that we're dealing with a bit of a challenge nowadays on the concert platform. We hear really a dichotomy between piano, everybody who plays, you know, by the book and completely literally the text, and so it's more of a typewriter dictation kind of performance, or when individuality is, I think, done at the expense of the music, and not that that's the intention, I think, of many of the performers out there, but it is kind of what happens in terms of how people apply rubato and tone production and so on. Tchaikovsky was a pianist who had not just tremendous technique, but really brilliant musicality. He was also a very skilled composer himself. And his playing is not always what you might expect, and you can quite often, you know, I think we're going to be hearing some performances this evening, where you hear really something a little bit different than what anybody else does, and yet it's absolutely got its own logic, it's very well considered, and it's always very, very musically played, where technique and musical conception are beautifully fused.
In that respect, he somewhat resembles Georgi Cifra.
I think so, although I think Cifra, I mean, we hear, you know, his volcanic presence and, you know, towering virtuosity really comes forth, I think, in a different way than Tchaikovsky. I've never heard Tchaikovsky play virtuoso repertoire where it will dazzle you in quite the same way. And, of course, with Cifra, we have to highlight, I think there's a mistaken notion that he was just a virtuoso, and in fact he wasn't. He was a very sensitive pianist.
Well, fair enough.
But I think with Tchaikovsky, the thing is, I mean, he's got that individuality, but again, it's so logical and it's so fascinating. He really wakes you up to something that's in the music that you might not have considered before.
Well, let's do two things. Let's hear, of course, Tchaikovsky play, but he's also going to play a piece of music which most people don't consider at all, and it's by a familiar composer. We're going to hear a sonata movement in C minor by Mozart, Kiko 312, and this is like one of these little bits that maybe lasts about 4.5 minutes of Empfindsamkeit, this emotional school of music that came from the Bach sons. And here I think you'll hear the musicality of Tchaikovsky playing a piece that just, so far as I know, gets relatively ignored. Sonata movement in C minor by Mozart, played by Andrzej Tchaikovsky.
Thank you.
We've begun a tribute to Andrei Tchaikovsky with a relatively elusive recording from the Dante label, the pirate label, of Mozart's Sonata Movement in C Minor, Kecko 312, with Andrei Tchaikovsky. Mark Anley, what was your impression?
Well, I thought it was wonderful. Pianists like Tchaikovsky make music that people often think is simple, sounds simple, when in fact it really isn't. And to play that well, one has to have tremendous technique. He accents beautifully without breaking the line. His articulation is flawless, and he uses a variety of articulation mindfully to shape the phrasing. The bass notes are very clear. There's great momentum, and I think one of the most important things is there's a beautiful, sparkling tone throughout the entire performance.
I was very alert to the kinds of inner polyphony that he could produce, which obviously would have really highlighted his Bach playing. We will hear that a little later in the concerto with Fritz Reiner.
Excellent.
Well, we move on to the music of his native countryman, and we'll move in there a couple of times this evening, and that's the music of Frédéric Chopin. And, of course, you know this well because of your familiarity with not only him, but his record company, RCA Victor. They had actually contracted to do a series of recordings. This one was for Columbia, I believe, of Chopin Mazurkas, but for some reason Columbia never released this. Luckily, I've been able to secure a copy from a 1997 Dante release. And it'll be the three mazurkas from Opus 59, which is very late Chopin, when his style was quite harmonically advanced and quite polyphonic. Maybe you'd like to talk about Andrei Tchaikovsky and Chopin.
Well, interestingly enough, he placed eighth in the 1955 Chopin competition. And there is one of those performances available on YouTube, and I believe the whole performance might be on his website. I should point out that the AndreiTchaikovsky.com website is an incredible resource. It's, the design is not particularly up-to-date, but it's regularly updated, and it has an incredible wealth of information and some unofficial recordings as well. And as they state there, and it's known in his biography, he only placed eighth in 1955, and then he went to study with the famous Chopin pianist Stefan Askenazy, and the following year he came in third in the Queen Elizabeth competition in Brussels, and that helped. And Arthur Rubinstein also adored his playing, and a great Chopin pianist himself, of course. And so Chopin was certainly one of the composers for which Tchaikovsky was very well known. And he brings his individuality and his beautiful tone, and I find the shaping of his phrasing to be very, very interesting in how he plays Chopin's works.
Well, we have about 10 minutes of Chopin as we hear the complete Opus 59. These works emanate from a period that produced the B minor sonata and the wonderful Barcarolle. They are, in consequence, the A minor, the A flat major, and the F sharp minor. The three mazurkas, Opus 59, as performed by Andrei Tchaikovsky. Thank you. We were listening to three mazurkas, Opus 59 of Frédéric Chopin, as played by Andrei Tchaikovsky, recorded for Columbia but never issued, but happily the label Dante released this album in 1997. I find these performances, particularly the first two, which we can compare to the RCA Victor recording, more sturdy than the RCA Victor recording. What do you think, Mr. Ainley?
Well, I mean, he was evolving, and I think he was the kind of artist who wouldn't play things, you know, probably from one night to the next or one moment to the next in exactly the same way. So indeed, we do hear some differences, and it's wonderful that these are available, even though for whatever reason. I mean, when you listen to playing like that, you can't imagine why the recordings weren't issued at all. It might have been something contractual, and also the fact that Tchaikovsky could be a challenging personality. But I found the playing absolutely beautiful, and it's such a beautiful sonority. And there's this depth and weight to his sound, and yet it's not heavy. There's this fullness of tone, and it's like he's really reaching the depth of the keys. And I thought it was marvelous playing throughout all three.
Well, the F sharp minor got me because of the agogic accenting, the shifts in rhythm and meter that are so subtle but so fluid. And, of course, the dance motion that was so typically Chopin, I just thought it came out. The character was just wonderful.
Well, I mean, the fluidity is really key, I think, and when you think that it's a dance and that Chopin's music is so singing. And I think that's one of the things that Tchaikovsky does so successfully is that fluidity of phrasing. If you really listen very closely, the seamlessness with which each note blends into the next and then the shaping of the phrase, the way it would, like a human voice, go up and go down, the way a singer would sing, for example. He accomplishes it with such skill, such seamlessness, that it's really much more difficult than it sounds. And I think it's a quality that's unfortunately, by and large, lacking from a lot of the pianists of our current generation.
Yes. I'll tell you, my own fascination with Tchaikovsky came from just my interest in RCA Victor label artists and the fact that an artist like him would pop up and then sort of just disappear. I mean, I saw the original album where he's playing Mozart and the Fantasias and some of the other pieces, and then there was so little of him. It's again, another conductor is like that is Franco Ferrara, another RCA Victor artist who just has a tendency to just disappear. But let's talk about our next selection, which you sent to me, a performance of the Beethoven Opus 110 from 1976. Perhaps you could give us some background about how you acquired this particular performance, which I find very powerful.
It's a wonderful performance. I mean, you know, one of the really unfortunate things is that you have an artist like Tchaikovsky, or like many great pianists, and you know Dino Lipatti, who we've spoken about, who played much more than he recorded in the studio, and this is very common in our current day as well. That you know artists do not make recordings that necessarily fully represent the breadth of their repertoire or their capacity. And Tchaikovsky, unfortunately, only made very few RCA records, as you commented on, and many of the other ones that he recorded in the 60s were not issued. So this is actually a BBC studio recording from October 12th, 1976, and I actually just got this in an exchange with another collector. He knew that I liked Andrei Tchaikovsky, and this came along, and it's absolutely stupendous playing. I think his sense of architecture, polyphony, as you've been commenting on, his agogic accents, it's all marvelous, and the incredible refinement of dynamics and tone. There's never, you know, he can reduce things down to this pianissimo, so he's just whispering, but he never loses the fullness of his sonority, and yet it's never lacking delicacy. And so he manages to bridge that dichotomy of, you know, from delicacy and strength, and there's always that purity of sound. And I think his talent as a composer comes through in playing music like this, where we really hear the architecture. He very carefully structures and highlights lines that help us to hear more of what Beethoven was doing in this magnificent work.
Well, I don't think I can add more than that than to play the music. From 1976, October 12th, to be in fact, from the BBC, we hear Beethoven, Sonata Number 31 in A-flat major, Opus 110, as performed by Andrei Tchaikovsky.
Thank you.
From the BBC, that was Andrei Tchaikovsky from 1976 playing Beethoven, Sonata No. 31 in A-flat major, Opus 110. That was pretty astonishing our friend Mark, and I can only think of two performers that even come close. That would be, I suppose, Solomon and maybe Myra Hess. But
yeah, I would put Spivakovsky in that category, but I agree, and the Myra Hess is an absolute classic. All of these are. Just is so individual, and what they all have in common, I think, is the beauty of that sound. there was this golden sheen. I mean, we talk about a golden age of piano playing, but you know, it's almost describing the quality of the sonority. And it's just, you know, in the first movement, that glistening sound that he has in the melodic line is just so intoxicating, just so beautiful.
Well, it builds up to a wonderful climax without becoming ostentatious in any way. It's just really...
Well, that's it. It's never bombastic. It's never over the top. It's never heavy. You know, and quite often with Beethoven, that is what one does. One thinks, oh, well, you know, this is very deep, deep German music, so therefore it must be heavy and philosophical in that sort of, in that weighty sense, and it's you can have power without it being weighed down.
Well said.
Tchaikovsky achieves that just beautifully there, and not just the crescendos, but also the decrescendos. They're incredibly well controlled.
Meanwhile, let's get back to Mark Ainley here and our discussion of pianist Andrei Tchaikovsky. We're going to finish the hour, if we can, Mark, with that Prokofiev recital that he did from Baden-Baden on January 1962. He plays the so-called sonata based on old notebooks. You care to say something about his Prokofiev? Because he left us some Visions Fugitives as well as this sonata.
That he did, and there's also on YouTube... well, actually, you have to access it from the website, but there's a video performance of him playing the Prokofiev Third Concerto as well. And it's absolutely spellbinding playing. It's from the same year. And what he's able to do in Prokofiev, which I think is a masterclass for the new generation.
Yes.
And there's lots of notes flying all over the place a lot of the time. But he will, it's never percussive in sound. And so he can highlight something which other pianists will play as percussive and make it sound beautiful. I also love what he does rhythmically, where his rhythm is always very clear. you know, and he can accent without breaking the line. So it's never jackhammer music, which unfortunately most 20th century music turns into in the hands of many pianists. But Tchaikovsky always, I find, just brings beauty to any music that he plays. And to hear 20th century music played this way, I think, is fantastic.
Well, it only makes us wish we had more of him in Bartok, for example, or Szymanowski. But from January 20th, 1962, from the Baden-Baden studio and the Southwest Radio studio in Germany, we go to hear from the Mellow Classics label as Andrei Tchaikovsky plays the Piano Sonata No. 3 in A minor, Opus 28 from Old Notebooks of Sergei Prokofiev. Thank you. Baden-Baden Studios of 1962, January 20th to be exact. We've been listening to the Prokofiev Sonata No. 3 in A minor, Opus 28 from Old Notebooks with Andrei Tchaikovsky here on the Music Treasury, KZSU Stanford at 90.1, where our guest is Mark Ainley commenting on the artistry of Andrei Tchaikovsky. What are your impressions of that wonderful performance?
Well, I mean, wonderful, as you said. Very much well, like I said earlier, there's just a lack of percussiveness in his playing is so wonderful. And of course, there's vitality and there's, you know, there are dissonances there, but he doesn't bash them out even when he's playing very robustly. And I should point out as well that the recordings of Prokofiev indicate that he also didn't play Prokofiev the way Prokofiev is played nowadays, and neither did Stravinsky or Bartok. Bartok was once heard telling a student, please don't play it so Bartokish. So even when he was alive, there was the habit of banging out his music simply because there was dissonance. And with Andre here, we don't hear that kind of playing at all. He did play Bartok, I should point out, and it's the same style as well. You hear power, you hear clarity and transparency, but you don't hear it with harshness of sound.
Well, let me just say, as a radio commentator and host on this kind of a program, that if you can, or anybody else can, access these things, including that Bartok, or the Prokofiev Third Concerto, anything like that, and we can transfer it to tape and then to a CD, I'd be glad to broadcast these. We're not under any restraints here as an educational station, and I'm glad to do it.
And I think it would be wonderful to do so, and actually, if I can share a little story just that gives a bit of an insight into his character. As regards this, he was very sensitive and very concerned, in a sense, about his interpretations. I'm fortunate enough to have connected with, via my Facebook page, somebody who worked with Andre via Andre's manager in the UK in the 1970s. And she told me a story that Andre was playing some Bartok in a recital, and I managed to track down both the date and the recording. It was 1972, and he was playing Bartok's Out of Doors Suite. And he was so nervous about playing, he always got very nervous before performing, that he wanted the lights dimmed extra low so that nobody would be able to follow with the score, because he was very concerned about his interpretation. And Radu Lupu, with whom he was very close friends, wanted to attend the concert, and he told Radu that the recital started 30 minutes later than he did, because he was starting off with a Bartok, and he knew that Radu knew the score, and he didn't want him to be there because he was so sensitive about his interpretation. But I've listened to the recording, and it's absolutely fantastic. So, well, perhaps on a later broadcast we can feature that.
Well, you're going to just make me incredibly envious. Envy is the root of all evil, but I'll indulge myself. Let's talk about Bach, particularly the commercial recording that was almost not made, or semi-made, and not originally even released by RCA Victor, between the collaboration of Andrei Tchaikovsky and that rather irascible conductor, Fritz Reiner. This occurred, I believe, in 1958.
That's correct.
And where they
on
were
the same,
yes,
on the same day they were recording, February 15th, 1958. They recorded both the Mozart, a Mozart concerto, and this Bach F minor concerto,
which are unique to Reiner. Those who are Reiner fans, this is quite unique. It's very hard to find Reiner on Mozart piano concerto interpretations, or almost any piano concerto interpretation. Let's talk about this Bach. I came to know this piece from Edwin Fischer, and I found this performance extremely crisp and very forward, and a lot of wonderful forward motion in this performance. And it's not mannered, and I think that's rather charming.
Well, this is again. I find you listen to him play Prokofiev, and when he plays the Third Concerto, and it's the same kind of playing. There's this momentum, and there's this robustness, and he has almost like, I almost don't want to say a strict rhythm, because it is, but it's not boxy. And so there's momentum with regularity of rhythm. And I find in Bach, of course, you know, nowadays, you know, everybody thinks that Bach can have absolutely no tempo fluctuation and so on. And I find Tchaikovsky shows us a way to really dance that line so beautifully between having momentum, having regularity of rhythm, and having that beautiful transparency and beautiful tone.
Yes. Let me share a personal story of this concerto myself, and that was when Grant Johannesson came to Atlanta to play this performance. And afterwards I met Grant, and I said, Grant Johannesson, I want to tell you that how much you performance reminded me of Edmund Fischer. And he said to me, you know what? I was thinking of Edmund Fischer while I played. Here we have from February 15th, 1958, Bach, Piano Concerto or Clavier Concerto No. 5 in F minor, BWV 1056, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra under Fritz Reiner, and once again our artist is Andrei Tchaikovsky. Thank you. February 15th, 1958, the Bach Piano Concerto No. 5 in F minor, BWV 1056, as performed by Andrei Tchaikovsky, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of Fritz Reiner. That was extremely crisp and direct, and it was a wonderful performance, very refreshed.
Yeah, I mean, it's crisp and it's refined, and it's but it's alive, and the crispness doesn't negate any fluidity of phrasing and so on. He just really finds such a wonderful way to balance these different elements of fine piano playing. But it's a very fresh, alive reading and a wonderful accompaniment with Reiner, who, as you know, on the same day they recorded Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 25, and there was almost a little bit of a scandal with that performance.
Yeah, because of the unfamiliarity of Tchaikovsky with the score.
Well, he just happened to mention as they were in rehearsal, as they were playing it, that he said, "Oh, maestro, you know, I've never played this in concert before." And Reiner threw a fit that he would be there in the studio with him recording a work that he hadn't played in concert. And, of course, Tchaikovsky was the kind of person who could read through a score and play it perfectly and have it completely memorized and remember it years later. But Reiner was not too impressed. But there were fears that the recording would not even continue. But in fact, I know through some subscribers on my Facebook page that Tchaikovsky did indeed perform with Reiner after that recording was made, and it was probably 1960 or 1961. He played Prokofiev's second piano concerto with Reiner. So at least we know he was invited back, and Reiner didn't hold too much of a grudge.
Well, once again, you're making me very jealous to hear something like that. My first experience with that particular concerto, the G minor of Prokofiev's, was with Fyodor Tchaikovsky, and of all conductors, Josef Krips.
That's a great one. And for me, it was Bolette's 1950s recording on Remington.
Well, there are some wonderful performances of that amazing concerto. Reminds me that one of these days I want to do a tribute to Malcolm Frager, who was very fine with that particular work. But let's move on. How familiar are you, Mark, with the music of Schubert and Andrei Tchaikovsky?
Not as much. And I think this is one that you had in your collection that I didn't yet have a chance to listen to. And so I'm very interested because I can absolutely imagine listening to his Beethoven, listening to his Chopin, and just knowing as much as they do about his playing. I can just imagine how beautifully he would play the particular works that you've programmed from, I believe it's a 1965
yes,
Columbia Festival.
From Dante, once again, these pirate recordings of unissued materials by Mr. Tchaikovsky. And what's wonderful about this music is that Schubert had this capacity to turn out chains of melodies of Ländler, German dances, and waltzes. I mean, they're almost interchangeable in terms of Schubert's oeuvre. And Mr. Tchaikovsky just plays these things with a fluidity, once again, that's just remarkable, and an ease. And you feel that you're in the salon, not so much in the concert hall. You're being entertained and illuminated by a man very much at home in your home and doing you the courtesy of sharing with you his intimate thoughts in Franz Schubert. We hear the Opus 9 of Franz Schubert, Deutsch 365, which are called Erstwalzer, the so-called early or first waltzes of Franz Schubert, as performed by Andrei Tchaikovsky from the Dante label, and I think everyone is going to be illuminated by these wonderful performances.
Thank you.
Sorry, we haven't got time for more. They could just go on forever as far as I'm concerned. Mr. Enlin, how did you enjoy your Schubert?
Oh, just marvelous. I mean, it's so charming, so beautiful. He really brings that dance-like rhythm in there. And there was occasionally just this part, and in one of them I noticed this pause in the line where he just goes up and then down, and you can just imagine the movement of the dancers. It was just absolutely lovely. And all the way throughout, as I was saying, that beautiful, beautiful tone that we hear in his playing all the time.
Right. We continue this tribute to Mr. Andrei Tchaikovsky with a very short piece because we have a very long work. We're going to hear just a 3-minute mazurka by Chopin, which we've heard before, but this is from Opus 50, Opus 50, number 2 in B-flat major. The mazurka is performed by Andrei Tchaikovsky. Well, we leave it to you, Mr. Ainley. How do you think of that mazurka?
Oh, well, I mean, it's just that luscious sound of his again and that seamlessness of phrasing. one can hear why Arthur Rubinstein considered him not just a great pianist, but a great musician. His Chopin really, truly sings, and that melodic line was just so beautifully shaped. And the way he would build to a crescendo, he would peak in a phrase, not necessarily where you might expect it. It was quite unexpected at times, and yet always logical and always beautifully achieved.
Well, I'm glad to be able to add to the repertory. Well, speaking of which, you've sent me a couple of concerts with Mr. Tchaikovsky, and I'd like you to tell me a little bit about the performance of the Rhapsody of Serge Rachmaninoff, especially those of us who have come to love performances by Capel, Rubinstein, and some other people, Tchaikovsky, on this wonderful mm-hmm. piece. This is with Uri Siegel and the Birmingham Symphony. I assume this is from England, this performance.
This is from England. It's a December 30th, 1976 concert. And I compared it actually with, there's a 1972 BBC broadcast as well with Tchaikovsky in the same work. And there are great similarities, and especially with one particular spot that I think everybody will probably hear a difference. If we're used to, I think we're used to probably, as you're saying, a variety of performances by great musicians, and there are many fine performances of this brilliant work. But the famous variation, that beautiful 18th variation that that is, you know, really one of the all-time beautiful classical melodies. He plays so exquisitely softly, and usually what happens afterwards when the orchestra comes in repeating that melody, they come in full force or approaching full force, and it becomes this big, gigantic, you know, rhapsodic piece. And yet, in both of these Tchaikovsky recordings, and we're going to be hearing the 1976 version, the orchestra comes in pianissimo as well. And then they slowly build, and there's so much lushness, and we hear so much, we can so much more appreciate, I think, the beauty of Rachmaninoff's writing here. And throughout the whole performance, we hear that incredible tone and the rhythmic vitality and attention to detail and beautiful articulation and balance between left and right hands. I think it's an absolutely stupendous performance. And worth noting that at the same concert, he also played Ravel's left-hand concerto. So that's some very interesting.
Well, that's for another time, as long as those wonderful Brahms variations. Let's hear
Indeed.
Rhapsody on the Theme of Paganini, Opus 43 of Sergei Rachmaninoff. The pianist is Andrei Tchaikovsky. The Birmingham Symphony is conducted by Uri Siegel in a performance of the 30th of December, 1976. Enjoy.
Thank you.
It's a pity we can't hear the screaming that must have occurred right after that performance. Mark Ainley, I want to thank you very much for sharing your goodies with us here on the Music Treasury.
Thank you for airing them. I think obviously Andre is, I mean, he's this pianist who just really needs to be better known, and I should just highlight that the reason I think most of your listeners probably haven't heard of him before is that he died very young. He died at 46 in 1982, which is quite a while ago. So, but fortunately, his RCA recordings just came out recently, and hopefully other recordings will follow suit.
Well, we'll do what we can here to promote him as much as we can, for he certainly deserves it. Thank you very much to Mark Ainley, commentator and connoisseur of the piano. You've been listening to the Music Treasury on KZSU Stanford.